Okay, I hope everyone's having an easy fast. So we're in Perek Beis and Hilchos Brachos, and we're dealing with the structure of benching. And the Rambam is going to, he just finished dealing with the various additions that we place into benching, such as Ritzei and Yalav Yavo. Not Allah Chachas, he explains that, because you're Mevarachim in Beis Avel, so let's say you're benching in a Beis Avel, a place of mourning. Omer b'bracha revias hamelech hachai hatov ametiv kel ms dayan ms shofei b'tzedek, etc., etc. So you there's an addition you make in the fourth bracha, on the bracha hatov ametiv and the base avel, and then at the end uvakish racha v'mala avel anachamo kfi mashi yirtze v'gomer harachaman. So you go ahead and then you're able to ask for rachamim on the avel to comfort him, which again has no specific mandatory text similar to the berachas areach. Again, kafi mashi yirtze, so a person has the right to, if he wanted to, expand on what he has to say. And then he says, "Vekomar rachaman." And then you can add in an additional post-benching harachaman if you so choose to do. But again, the key point is that this reflects back on the idea that, as you notice, there are parts of benching that are not written in stone, that there's room to be flexible insofar as what you can add in. Yeah, go ahead. Okay, now, Beis Chasanim, an halacha test. Let's say you're in a house of a Chasanim. Now, that's an important point to emphasize. We'll get that down. I'm not sure how many months away it is to get to where this is brought down later on in Hilchos Ishus. But in a Beis Chasanim means the house where the Chasan and Kala live. Okay? Meaning, we're getting this, which is Sheva Brachos. It doesn't mean a restaurant. It doesn't mean their in-laws. It means the house that they live in. So just like a Beis Avel is the house where the Avel's mourning, okay? So too, Beis Chasana means when you're in the house where the Chasan lives, okay, with his Kala, then Mivarchim Birchas Chasanim, Acha Arba Brachas Elu, B'chol Suda Sudash Ochlim Sham. So you make you make Birchas Chasanim, which we'll explain what that is in a second, after you finish benching. In every meal that you eat there, so every meal that requires benching, not just dinner, okay, but technically speaking, any meal that requires benching would have the additional Birchas Chasanim made. But again, to emphasize, it's in the Beis Chasanim. That is another one of these interesting halachic, whether, depending on your perspective, evolutions or mutations, that for whatever reason why, this is not followed today, and we say Sheva Brachos in any makom where the Chasan and Kala are, and there's all sorts of achronim who come up with leniencies as for the reason why to justify it, but it's pretty clear the halacha was and should be it's only done in Beis Chasanim. Anyway, so what do you do in the Beis Chasanim? The aim of Archon Brachazu, lo avadim lo ktanim, fine. Ad kama mevarchin brachazu, okay? So for how many days, right? Ima ya almon shenas almana mevarchin osab yom yisham bavad. So if it's a widow and a widower, so then only the first day. But if it's an unmarried, a first-time married male marrying a woman who's been married, or vice versa, mevarchin osa kol shivas yemei mishta. Okay, so that's brought down from the Gemara, whether it's limited to one day or the full 7 days. Halacha yud. Now, what's the bracha? Bracha zushim osifim beis chasanim. He bracha achrona misheva bracha shan lisuin. So the bracha that you add in when you're in the house of the chasanim is the last bracha, the sheva brachos, okay? And that's it. B'med var amurim k'shayochum heim she'amdu b'berchas nisuim v'shamu brachos. That's only if the people eating together already heard the entirety of berchas nisuin, right, at the wedding. Av'im hayu ha'ochlen acherim shelo shamu berchas nisuin b'shas nisuin, right? But if the people eating there did not hear, meaning they didn't attend the wedding, basically, right? Then you make the entirety of the Sheva Brachos, as you would make at a wedding. But you, of course, you require 10. So you need 10 people to do the full complement of Sheva Brachos, assuming the people there had not heard Sheva Brachos already. And the chasanim can be counted as part of the minyan, even though we heard it already. And the Lachiyat Aleph, which we don't have to go through the whole thing, and Halachiyat Aleph, Eilahein Sheva Brachos, the Rambam goes through the entirety of the Sheva Brachos in Halachiyat Aleph. Consult your local sitter if you want to see the text Ashkenazim use, there's not that much of a difference between what the Ashkenazim have and what the Rambam has. Okay, halacha yibayz. Okay, so now the Rambam's going to deal with, for now in the next few halachas, the famous questions of, let's say I forgot to include the insertions and the various parts of, and the various days on benching. For instance, shachach v'lo hizkir b'shabbos, or b'yom tov kedusha sayom. So let's say a person forgot to mention, what do you call it, ritzei, or yalav yava, okay? Now recall, if you recall back to when we did by Hilchos Tefillah, if you forgot yalav yava, right? So there's always the question of, you know, at what point in Shemoneh Esrei, when you forgot it, do you have a chance to go back and say it again, okay? But it's always the same text. Whereas here, by benching, and again, it also reflects the fact that benching doesn't quite have the same, excuse me, permanency of text that tefillah has. So here, there's a little bit of a different thing that you could do. So if a person forgot and didn't say, let's say, would say, in nizgar kodem shiaskel bracha revius b'shabbos. So let's say I said bone Yerushalayim before I started the final bracha. I recall that I forgot to say ritzei. What do you then say? Omer baruch Hashem asher nasa menucha lamo Yisrael leosubris kodesh baruch ata Hashem mekadesh haShabbos. So you mention this bracha here. You add this bracha, right? It's also fascinating how it has a bracha form, but you add this bracha in before you say the fourth bracha. And if it's Yantav, let's say it was Sukkot and you forgot to say Yalav Yavo, Omer Baruch Hashem Nasan Yom Tov Lamo Yisrael, Sal Simcha, Baruch Hashem Mechad Yisrael Vazman. Well, Maskel Baruch Hashem Vias V'Gomer, right? And then you say the fourth bracha and you finish. Now, V'im Nizkar Acha Shehizkel Baruch Vias, but let's say you remembered after you started the last bracha, Posek V'Chozo L'Rosh, Hu Baruch Hashem Zan. Interesting thing. Then you have to go back all the way to the beginning of benching, okay? And again, the reason why this exists is because of that unique nature of the transitionary phenomenon of the third bracha to the fourth bracha. The third bracha being the end of the, let's say, original benching, so to speak, and then the fourth bracha being the addition the Chazal put in. Okay, halach yud gimel, nabrosh chodesh, shachach v'lomer yal v'yavo, im nizkar kodem shaskel brach harviyis, omer bracha shenasan roshe chadashan mo yisrael lizikaron, ve'enochosim ba, v'maskel brach harviyis v'gomer. Now note the difference by rosh chodesh. Even though you mentioned Yalav Yavo Rosh Chodesh, the Kedusha Sayyom of Rosh Chodesh is different than regular Yantav. So it's reflected to some extent in the fact that if you remember before you start the first bracha, you don't actually say a bracha, right? And you recall Rosh Chodesh specifically. And then, of course, you mention, and then you start with the fourth bracha and you finish benching. Vin Miskar Achash Yisgol Bracha Revius, Gomer Osaveda Chozer. Note, by Yalav Yavo, if you finish benching, and you realize you forgot Yalav Yavo by Rosh Chodesh, you don't have to go back. V'chei v'chol shamoed. And so too with Chol Shamoed. And that's a reflection of the nature of the Kedusha Siyam of those days versus the Kedusha Siyam of regular Yantav. Chanakam Purim, right? Shachach v'lo hizkir, ha'inyim b'bracha, b'rchas ha'mazon, ena chuzer. And of course, if you forgot Al-Nisim, you don't have to go back at all in benching. Halachi Adad, which is an important one. Okay? Misha achal v'shachach v'lo birech. Okay? Let's say a person ate, and he forgot, and he didn't bench. Im nizkar kodem sheyisachel amachal shemeav. Now, it's an interesting thing. So if he remembers before, like, his food is really digested completely, right, which really alludes to, like, the feeling of fullness, okay, chozem avarach, then he goes back and benches. Nisachel amazon shemeav, ena chozem avarach, right? But if he's, if the food already basically passed through his system, or he doesn't feel the effects of the meal, he would not go back and bench. Now, let's say he's besuffic. He's not sure if he benched or not, which is more of a common thing. Im birech, right? Or im birech or lo birech. So he's unsure. Chozer umavarech, right? He would go back and bench as long as there's still the effects of the meal in his system. Now, that's an interesting thing because rather than give you a zman and say, like, you know, you have an hour or an hour and a half, which would be a much more familiar way of us of dealing with these types of halachas, the Rambam says no. He says it's really a subjective thing, meaning a person has to know, or has to ask himself, so to speak, how do I feel, and if I still feel the effects of the meal or not. But that's not a time-bound phenomenon necessarily. It's not that for some person it could be like 45 minutes, could be an hour. It all depends on who the person is. Okay, Parakimel now is going to deal with halachas of bread. Okay, so again, Perek Beis dealt with the halachas of benching itself. Now we're going to get into foods. And of course, the first food that the Rambam has to start off with is going to be bread, because the mechayev of benching comes about because of bread. So now just to, before I mention the five grains, I'm acutely aware that and not that my opinion matters, but I'm a proponent of the idea that there really are two primary grains, which is wheat and barley, and everything else is probably subspecies of that. But we'll deal with the classic explanation of the five grains, which is chamisha min and hein, hachitin v'asorin, v'kusvin shibul shol v'shifon, which is wheat, barley, rye, right? Oats and spelt. Okay, so again, you have wheat, barley, which we'll call those the main ones. Okay, and then you have rye, you have oats, okay, and shifon, which is spelt. And just as an example, shibul shol, it's probably unlikely that was oats. Because for many, many various reasons. But today, our tradition, culturally, is that they're considered to be oats. Hakusvin mimin achitim. Okay, so rye is really a subsection of wheat. Shibola shuol shifon mimin asorim. And the last two are really a subsection of barley. Okay? V'chamisha minin ha'ilu. Okay? Kishahen shibola nigran tzvua b'chol makom. Now, this is an important point. When they are in their non-harvested form, okay, or I should even say, even after they're harvested, before they've been winnowed, okay, they are called tvua. So in the Gemara, when it says, talks about tvua, it's talking about normally tvua means in its raw form. The achar shedushin vizarin, okay, and after we do winnowing, nikroin dagan, all right. So now we move into when you winnow out the kernels, and now all you have are the actual whole kernels themselves. That's called dagan in halacha. The third one is that once I grind it, okay, I knead the flour and I bake it, then it's called pas. Okay, and that actually has halacha consequence, as you'll see. We're going to focus more on dagan versus pas. Pas in halacha is a completely separate entity. That pas and nasem me'echa mehen, right? And bread that's made out of any one of these five grains, he anikres pas chomakom below voy. So that's always called, that's considered pas no matter what. So the key thing here is that pas is a, and this I'm going to put in more halachic terms, pas is a different substance, okay? Bread is a different substance than dagan. And also kemach as well, obviously it's flour. That's an important point because that's what makes pas and yain is going to be the same thing. That's what makes pas and yain very unique. They are foods that undergo a transition, and that transition produces a new chi of bracha. Okay. Now halacha beis ha'ochol pas chayiv levarach lefaneah hamotzi lechem in aretz. Right. So as we all know, before you eat bread, you have to make hamotzi ulachareya arba brachos. You bench afterwards. Achol dagan shalok. Right. Kemoshehu levarach lefaneah b'rpi adama. So if you eat, let's say wheat kernels that are boiled, you make adama beforehand. Ulachar bor nefashos rabos. Okay, so you make a adama and bor nefashos. So again, in this food, right, we call it bread, which shows we identify as differently. But in this wheat food, right, when it's in its raw wheat form, right, you make a adama and a bor nefashos. When it's in its bread form, you make hamotzi and you bench. If you eat the flour of achal kemach mevarach lefanav shahako lachar bor nefashos, but if you eat flour, right, so you actually make shahako. Now, why would you make shahako by kemach? Because it's not normally eaten that way. We don't eat kemach, so kemach is really a processed form of dagan. So even though it's advanced in its progression towards becoming bread, it's a step back, so to speak, when it comes to brachas, because we don't really eat kemach. Halacha gimel. Now kemach shel echa mechameshes aminin shakluhu v'arvu b'mayim o b'shar mashvim. Now let's say you take flour and you mix it up with water. Okay. Im haya ava, if it's thick kidei sheyeh roi la'achila ula'aso. So let's say it's thick enough that you could eat it that way. Okay, chew it. Right. You make b'rei mizonos levasof al-mecha v'al-kalkala. So you'd make a mizonos and an alamichya, meaning. Now, this is our first introduction to the bracha of mizonos, okay? But again, you're one step closer now to it becoming bread, right? But it's been processed enough that it's removed from its ha'adama form, its raw form. But kemach alone is not eaten normally, so that's why it's getshahachol. Here, it's in its doughy state. So once you're in this doughy type of state, you've already started entering into the mizonos category. But if it's very thin, meaning that it's drinkable, so to speak, but you wouldn't eat it, you couldn't chew it, then you still make varachalah betchilas shahakol of a soap bread and fashas rabo. So you can see the Rambam is starting to go through an evolution here, taking us through step by step the various using these food examples to show us how these various brachas work by wheat. So look at, yes. The classic example of making bracha, it's not that it's not, when we say not normal to eat, it means that it's not that it's not edible. If it's not edible, you wouldn't make a bracha. But you have the famous thing by potatoes, right? We all know you don't make a hadama on a raw potato. You can eat a raw potato, but it's not eaten that way. So it's when something's not eaten in its normal way, let's say it's a vegetable. So you see, you make a shakal. Shakal's default, but you're still getting hanah from it. That's why you still make a bracha. Okay, now, lach adalit. Now, kemach she'echa mechamesh zaminin shebishu b'kadera. Now, let's say, okay, now you take the flour and you make it into a cooked dish. Could go, bein levado, bein she'ivru im dvar macherim, gon levivos kliyotze behen. So those are like dumplings is the technical translation of that. But you take flour, right? You cook it in a pot, okay? Literally, that's what it means. And let's say you mix it with other things as well, okay? Or v'cheina dagan shechalko kasho bishlub gedera, right? It could go on harifus v'geras akarmel. Or let's say you take, the wheat kernels, okay? You break them up or you grind them up, okay? Not grinding them up to make flour, okay? What do you call it? And the example are grits. Grits are a classic example of this, okay? V'cholzehu nikra maisa gedera. In the Gemara, this is called maisa gedera. So the best case to think of is a case of like grits, similar to oatmeal. Oatmeal's not that much different than this. V'chein kol tafshil she'arba mechamesha saminim bein kemach bein pas. Right? And any other tafshil that you mix into it from the five grains, whether it's kemach or you actually mix bread in there, mivarech Allah borei minei mizonos. Okay? You make a mizonos on it. Now, again, this is the next step in how this halacha evolves. So the best way to understand the bracha of mizonos is what we call pre-bread, meaning it's exited the raw grain form, it's gone through some processing, it has a certain chashivas to it, right? But its chashivas comes from the fact that it has the potential to become bread. And now when you have it in these forms, it demands a mizonos. So oatmeal, right? Even though oatmeal is not the same thing as what's called pas baba kistan, which will come up a little later on, oatmeal means... Or bran flakes is another good example. It's like it's gone through the progression to become bread, but it's been frozen, so to speak, at a certain step. The idea of mizonos as a bracha comes from the bracha of hamotzi itself. It's actually, it's like a subsection of hamotzi. It's not its own unique separate bracha. And for those who have done the sugya with a bunch of people on here, that's why the Mishnah doesn't list mizonos as its own bracha. It's really a inferior, so to speak, form of the bracha of hamotzi. So lachahei. Okay, so now this is another extremely important principle in brachos. Okay, so one of the most difficult things about Hilchos brachos, okay, and again, I know it can be frustrating to people, is that Hilchos brachos also does not necessarily, by foods, doesn't necessarily follow objective guidelines, okay? Meaning that a person, through his das, through the way he relates to, let's say, the mixture he has in front of him, can determine what bracha he makes. So for one person who has a mixture of food in front of them, maybe bracha A, and for another person, maybe bracha B. Okay? And that's something that really bothers people. And especially today's world, we want we want everything to be manualized to the point where if I'm having a salad, if it's this kind of salad, it should be this bracha, that. That's not the way brachas are set up. So as you see here in a second, this famous halacha comes from that concept, okay? So medvar amurim, kishayam min hazeh, it's only when this min, meaning the flour, okay, chashuv etzlo, v'lo ya tfeila, as long as it's considered important to him, and it's not secondary in the dish. Aval im haya echa mechameshes aminim she'irev tfeila, but let's say one of the five grains that's added to the mixture is really secondary. Eina b'varach el ala ikar, upoter sa tfeila. That's the principle. So you make the bracha on the ikar, and you don't have to make the bracha on the tafel. So if I have a mixed dish, right, and there's the main thing in there, which is A, and lots of other things, B, C, D, E, F, G, you make the bracha on the ikar, and then it's poter, it exempts you from making a bracha on the other things. There is no idea, normally, and it's Haroves, of making a bracha on each thing that you eat. You don't do that. You don't take a salad and pick out each individual thing. You make a bracha on one thing, and it's poters everything else. V'zeh klalu brachos, kol shu ikar v'imo tfela, mivarach ala ikar u'poter shatfela. And that is the rule by brachos. Whatever is the ikar, right, and has other things with it, you make the bracha on the ikar, and it poters, exempts you from making the bracha on the tfela. Bein shahayisa ha'tfela mureves ima ikar, bein shalo ha'yisa mureves. And the tfela doesn't have to be subsumed in the mixture with the ikar, meaning it doesn't have to be, for instance, let's say blended the tuffle ingredients so you don't even see them anymore, right? It could be that I see in the mixture, I see the ikar, which is A, and I see all the other things in there. It's irrelevant. Whatever I relate to as the ikar, okay, becomes the ikar, and then I only make a bracha on that, and it exempts me from making a bracha on the tafel. And Halacha Vav, he continues, Ketzad hi atfela hamu'ureves, right? Gagon lefes ukruv shabish. So what's an example of this? So let's say I mixed cabbage, okay, that I cooked v'irabo kemach she'echa mechamech zaminin kele davko. Now that's the famous thing. If I use flour as a binding agent, okay, now here's where you have an objective version of tafel. If I use grain, flour as a binding agent, because in this situation, it's the thing being brought, let's say in this case, it's being brought to help your bread, but whatever, that's a secondary point. What's the kemach stuff here is only there, it's not there for a nutritive reason. It's there to bind things together. So if it functions as a binding agent, then by definition it's tafel. Shekol davar shem arvin oso ledevek, ogalitin reach, okede litzvoas atafsor vezo tfela. Because once I remove the nutritive function of the food, for instance, if it's there to give it a better smell, like spices, right? Give it a better smell, or to give it a certain color, that makes it tafel. Aval im irev kedilitin tam b'tarobis, hariyu ikar. But once I mix that flour in there to give flavor to the mixture, then it becomes the ikar by definition. Lefikach. Mine dvash, so therefore you have these types of honey, shemavaslin oso v'nosim behen chelav chita, right? So they would put in like this starchy type stuff into the honey, okay? Kedila davek v'osim behen mine mesika, and they would use it to make like these candies, okay? Eina b'varach ala b'raim minizanos b'nei shedvash v'ikar. So look, you can go as far as in this case here where they would use the flour here as a binding agent to assist in making this honey candy. What's the halacha? You don't make a mizonos because the flour is not the ikar. Now, what's example of tefela? Halacha zayin, ketzadi tefela she'enu merevez. What's example of tefela or tafel that's not mixed in? Harei shetzarech, and this comes from a Mishnah, harei shetzarech le'achol dag meliach. Okay? Now, just to give you, there's a machlokas how to learn the case, but just to make it simple. He's eating a salty fish, okay? Like herring, okay? And he wants to put it on a piece of bread. Today it's done on crackers, but let's make it simple. V'achal pas imo, right? Why? Yazik amelach grono lishono, because he wants to have the salty fish, but he doesn't want. It's a very, very, very powerful salty herring, and he doesn't want it to really like affect his throat too much. Okay, so what does he do? He has bread with it. Meaning, what's the bread doing? It's mitigating the effects of the salty fish. Harezim mevarach ala meliach. You make a bracha on the fish, upoter es apas, and you don't have to make a bracha on the bread. So you see that as important as pas is, okay, and pas being the most chashuv of all foods, you do see that the principle of ikar tafel, right, beats out the chashivas of pas. So, and that is somewhat, even though Rambam's given us examples here, there is a subjective element to this. But the main point is that once the food ceases to function in an ikar way, right, no matter how chush of the pas might be, it's irrelevant. What we end up saying is that since the pas, in this case by the fish, is there to, not for any nutritive reason, but to mitigate a certain effect that the dog has, you don't make hamotzi. You make the bracha on the fish, and that potters you from making hamotzi.